Hello and welcome to the Una Series podcast. My name is Katie Miller and I am the co-founder of Una Series, and I am so thrilled to be hosting this series of incredibly inspiring founders. I have today with me Casey Berros, and we're going to get to know her, her brand. We're going to get to hear a little bit about the inspiration behind why she got into what she's doing now. But this series is pretty special to me, being an entrepreneur myself and jumping into the deep end many a time, getting things right, getting things wrong, having to stop, press pause on certain things. Casey shaking her head as I'm saying.
I'm nodding.
It could not be more true. But Casey, thank you so much for joining. And I just wanted to give you the floor. And this is always the most awkward question at the beginning. Who are you? What are you doing? Tell us a little bit about you. I'm going to give you the floor.
Okay. So I love the who are you question.
It's always so tricky.
It is. It is. So who I am as a being is, I think I'm a good mom. I'm a really hard worker. I'm a passionate feminist, and I am a health journalist by trade. So that's what I do. And I suppose I should say I'm an author now, because I have got a book out that's still kind of sinking in. So that's kind of what I do. But I guess in terms of what that means for the world, I see myself as a bit of a conduit between clinician and consumer. So like a particularly health literate consumer. So just like everybody else, trying to navigate my way through health and well-being and life and everything that comes along with that. But I do work with a lot of healthcare professionals to try and distill what is often quite dense scientific and medical information and make it digestible and deliverable for public consumption.
I love this. And you mentioned you're a mama, and right before this call, you said you're in Perth right now and our time zones are totally swapped. You said you just put the kids to bed. So I find, again, so much inspiration just even in this statement, because here you are, you know, championing your brand, yourself, your mission, and you know, you're walking the walk. So you have two little girls.
Two little girls, yeah. Almost two and four.
Amazing. Yeah. It's a lot, but it's especially inspiring for them to watch you on this journey, I'm sure.
I hope so. It's so funny that you say that, because I was just in the bathroom, and full disclaimer. I've been to the gym, and then I came home and I didn't have time to have a shower and wash my face. So I just put more makeup over the top of my gym face. And I was doing that in the mirror quickly before I jumped on with you. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is walking the walk. And it's not having dinner with my husband or finishing up very late and maybe not being able to run away to my girls right now if they were to wake up, because we only just put them to bed, and putting on more makeup and not clocking off. And look, certainly not every day is like that, but there are some days that are like that. And one of the things that I write about in my book is that you have to find that thing that you love more than anything else, because doing this with you tonight is such a pleasure that I would do it 100 times over. Like, it's an easy choice. It's not like, oh, I have to do a podcast interview tonight. It's like, I can't wait to speak to Katie tonight. I've got so much to say. I can't wait to meet her. You know, I think my mission is to, And probably just to take a step back, I spent my whole life feeling really crap about myself. And my mission is to help anyone, largely women, tend to really take on board my messaging, but anybody feel as good about themselves as they do when their favorite song comes on the radio. That is how I want everybody to feel about themselves. And I finally, at almost 38, I'm in a place where I'm like, physically, emotionally, financially, from a relationship perspective, as a mother, as a friend, as a daughter, as an entrepreneur, as a businesswoman, all of those things, I am genuinely proud of who I am and who I've become. But it took me a really long time to get there. And I should say, some people never get there. And to have gotten there by 37, I reckon that's pretty good.
I think it's great. And it sounds, you know, share with us this journey of getting there, because I think, you know, you also said it, and I think it's really important for the listeners to hear that, you know, every journey we're on, it's never going to be smooth sailing, right? It's always constant fluxes through motherhood, relationships, you know, through our own personal health journey. We're always adjusting and trying to find the way. I like to talk about having tools in your back pocket constantly to be able to reach back into, because that's what we're constantly doing. But having that solid foundation really helps. So tell us about your journey, because you shared, you know, that previously you weren't feeling so positive about your life, your journey. So what was that like, and how did this inspiration pull you through?
Well, I think the challenge for all of us is that we're so zoomed in on our own storyline. It's impossible to zoom out and really stand in anybody else's shoes. And even the opportunity that we have these days to be able to do that, so to sort of live vicariously through other people on social media, for example, that's still a very curated, very filtered version of their lives. But the shitty stuff, the stuff where you cry yourself to sleep or can't get off the floor or get another knockback or everything is just going to shit that day, that's the stuff that nobody sees and nobody shows. And I think that's a real shame, because I think there's genuine camaraderie in sharing our mistakes and really sharing the bits that suck, because everybody has them, no matter what stage of that journey you're at. And so I guess that's really what I believe that I'm here to do, is to be quite transparent about all of that, and certainly share the champagne moments and the good times as well, but just be a little bit more honest about how, like, life is tough. It's really hard. And that is said from a stupidly privileged perspective. You know, I have enough money to send my kids to daycare. I still have both my parents. I have a beautiful husband who loves me. I'm relatively fit and healthy. I cannot complain. But all of that said, life is shitty sometimes, and occasionally you get dealt a bad hand, and that happens for all of us, regardless of how much money you have or what size jeans you wear or how many Instagram followers you have. And so I think it's really important just to acknowledge that. But to answer your question, I grew up thinking that there was something genuinely wrong with me, that the things that I thought and the things that I did and the way that I grew up was very strange. And I couldn't really be super honest with anybody about that, probably because I didn't even know how to articulate it. Basically, I was walking around thinking everybody else knows exactly what they're doing. They know what to say. They know what to wear. They know how to feel. They know how to love. They know all of these things that just feel completely foreign to me. And it took me a really long time to understand that nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. No one knows. And acknowledging that and recognizing that gives you so much comfort. Did you just get that feedback?
Oh, no, not yet. I can still hear you. Can you hear me? I think you're right. You know, I think there's a lot of power in the vulnerability and in the moments of sharing stories, because that's, for me, you know, in my job, that's where I have clients who come and they share their experiences with me. And as soon as I, you know, am free flowing and sharing mine, so much change happens within that conversation, not only for the client, but also for myself. So, you know, I think that that's a really beautiful thing that you've tapped into, to that, and just being more open and honest with sharing. So, Casey, before your book, how were you health coaching? Was this all done online? Was this face to face?
So really, I was coaching on health retreats only. And the reason that I did a health coaching certification was so that I could have really honest but guided conversations with the people that were coming on retreat with me. And we ran retreats in Sri Lanka and Indonesia and Australia, and I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And really, that's as far as I took the coaching side of things. Really, where my genius sits, if you will, is in facilitation. So facilitating kind of high-level conversations, particularly between healthcare professionals, but then also for consumers. And so as a journalist, I focus on leveraging the mediums that are available to me. So whether it's podcasts, whether it's digital media, whether it's television, whether it's books, whatever it might be, to be able to really break down some of the, I suppose, they're relatively well-trodden issues, psychology, dietetics, physical health, mental health, emotional health. We talk about those things a lot, but I suppose where my point of difference has really come about is in doing that in a very humorous and very entertaining sort of way. And, you know, you asked me about, you know, before the book kind of came together and my journey, I suppose, from going from this person who thought that they were worthless and had no idea what they were doing and everybody else did, through to this person that was like, okay, no, hold on a second. I think I've kind of got something here. I have to say that we spend so much time looking for the silver bullet, the course, the coach, the PDF, the psychologist, the diet, the workout, the thing that's going to change our lives. And honestly, for me, I can look back now and go, okay, if I was starting a 1,000-piece puzzle, I had 100 pieces to begin with. I had no idea which ones of them went together. Lots were missing. Slowly over time, I've managed to work out a couple of bits that fit together. And then more pieces have been added in. And don't get me wrong, it's nowhere near finished. But now I can start to see where some of those pieces have come together. And I'd say that that's a culmination of all of that incredible work that I've done. Lots of therapy, lots of physical exercise, lots of really taking care of my emotional health, cutting out of my life the people that didn't serve me anymore and that didn't light me up, inviting people in who absolutely do. You know, it's a process.
I love this. It's everything that we talk about within Una, you know, feeling one within your physical, your social, and your mental health.
You know, those three pillars are so key because when one falls short, which will happen from time to time,
but it's being able to reach back in and knowing where your pieces are, your people, your coaches, mm-hmm. you know, where your tools are that you go, okay, that's going to hold me up in this moment. That's going to help get me through, you know, these tough times. So I love that. And with your book, did you start writing this during lockdown?
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, wow. Tell us more about the timing of all of this.
So I'm just trying to fix that feedback.
Don't worry.
Let's see if that fixes it.
Is that better?
I think that's better. Okay. I could hear myself.
Oh, that's so, yeah.
The process I loved. So I had these grand plans that I was going to go to Italy and I was going to live in an apartment for a month with my family. I had a newborn, a toddler, my husband, and that we're all going to go and live in Italy and I was going to finish my manuscript and it was all going to be very Sex in the City. I would sit in the little piazzas and drink wine and eat pasta and just enjoy, really thoroughly enjoy the process, because you never know if you're going to get the chance to do something like that again. And it's always been a dream of mine to write a book. And so I really wanted to enjoy it. And then obviously COVID hit. We went into lockdown. And so we were about 4 months, I think, in the first lockdown in a two-bedroom apartment with my newborn baby, my toddler, my husband and me. So I would go wherever I could. I would go to cafes if they were open. I would go and sit in the car if we weren't allowed to go anywhere. And, yeah, it was full on. But I think it had been rattling around in me for such a long time that it just flew out of me.
I love it.
So even with the sleep deprivation and the feeding and all that sort of stuff, I still smashed it out in like 6 months tops.
And again, this is like a true testament to entrepreneurship, motherhood, life, just taking it in your stride because you have to. You know, what other choice and options do we have in those moments? And I love how, you know, you had this grand plan vision, but now maybe that grand plan vision will be you sitting in the piazzas, sipping your wine, reading your book, you know? Yeah, that's
2025.
Exactly. So the book has launched. Is that right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it launched in Australia in June and it launched in the UK in September.
Okay. And are you doing any readings or launches? Are you at any events? Because I'm not sure what the lockdown restrictions are like there at the moment.
I wish we're not allowed to travel at all at this stage. I'm fully vaccinated. We've done all of the right things, but we're still not allowed to go anywhere, mainly only because we can't get back in. So Western Australia is very, very strict, the toughest of all of the states in Australia. And so we just aren't allowed to come back in. In fact, nobody from any other state, well, no, that's not true. There are a few states that you can travel from currently that have no COVID, but New South Wales, which is where we were based, Victoria, they're not going to be allowed in until like next year sometime. So they're very strict. So sadly, I can't be there. I do have a couple of girlfriends who are putting on a bit of a launch event for me, which is lovely. And I've been doing a bit of press over there, which has been amazing. But no, I would love to do a reading. I often jump on Instagram and do a reading, particularly if I know that there's a group of people that are going through a hard time, if they've gone back into lockdown and everybody's feeling a bit sad about it. I love jumping on and doing a reading. So anytime.
Oh, we would love to do that. And, you know, here we are on this platform shouting out, sharing this, you know, word about your book and just about you, because what you're doing is really powerful and impactful. And, you know, you should be, again, so proud of yourself for continuing, you know, this journey and this road of moving forward, because that's essentially life. I talk about, you know, all the little space between those big wins and, you know, those big falls that we have, you know, that's where you're becoming who you are, you know, whether it is your brand, your business, your family, you know, all that growth is happening in that space. So Casey, tell us something. I guess tell us if you can think of anything off the top of your head, because I know I put you on the spot, but were there any moments during your career, and it could be, you know, within the book, within, you know, Casey as you are now, as health coach, or before, that you maybe started something and you realize, do you know what? I have to press pause. I have to say no. I have to switch gears. And what was that like? And how do you coach yourself through those moments?
That's a good question. What I can tell you, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I've started and thought, oh no, actually I can. There is something. I started my business running retreats and I loved that. And I poured so much into it. And I don't know if you've ever bought an item of clothing that at that moment you thought was really cool. And then a few years later, you've tried it back on and you're like, I don't think that this suits me anymore for whatever reason. And that was kind of how that business felt for me. I still really loved our ethos. I love what we were doing. I loved helping people and I loved doing that in a holiday setting because I think that's one of the greatest opportunities that we have to really go away and take some time to work on ourselves, which was effectively what the retreats were about. But it just came to a point I was doing a television program. I was getting married. There was a lot going on. I knew that I was going to want to try and have babies and it just was not going to be feasible for me to continue flying to Sri Lanka in the middle of the night, driving for 3 hours by myself through the back streets of Sri Lanka, as much as that had really fit me and served me at that point in my life, I knew that that wasn't necessarily going to fit me moving forward. And I ran the business with my best friend. And so that was really heartbreaking, dismantling that. And I think anytime a business folds for any reason, as the founder or leader of that business, you can't help but feel like that's personal, even though a lot of the time it's not and it has nothing to do with you. And I think we should get better at recognizing when things don't fit us anymore. Relationships, businesses, jobs, there are so many things that we continue on, because it's almost like standing in the line at the bank for a really long time. And it's like, you feel like you're halfway through or almost at the front. You don't want to give up all of that time that you've just spent standing in the line. But actually, I would suggest that you're never going to get to the front of the line if you're not like, this is my thing. And that's not to say that there aren't bits of my day or bits of anybody who's living out their passion and their purpose, that there's not bits of their day that doesn't suck. There still does, 100%. There's bits of every job that suck, regardless of who you work for and regardless of what you do. But I have to say that those moments are definitely fewer and further in between. And doing what I'm doing now lights me up all the time. And, you know, even when it sucks, it still always, always feels worth it. And so I try and keep that front of mind as much as I can. I loved what you said about the space in between. And I think one of the challenges for me is that I want everything yesterday. And, you know, I think when you've spent a long time piecing yourself together and you're a smart, hardworking, very committed adult, you're like, why is this not happening for me yet? Why is success not happening for me? Why is the insert dream here, television, dream house, television show, I meant to say, dream house, podcast series, book deal, whatever it is. Why is it not landing in my lap? Because I deserve it. And I have to believe that everything that we do, or I firmly believe, I should say, that everything that we do sets us up for something that's to come. But I have to believe that if something is not being delivered to you, it's because you're pushing on the wrong door that is never going to open for you, or it just hasn't opened yet. It's just not the right time. So I'm much better at dealing with the no's and the knockbacks and the harder days now, because I reframe it as, okay, like this is just galvanizing me for something else. And I think for anybody in a creative industry, I see this all the time and I speak to lots of talent about this. If you have a good idea, that good idea will find a way to exist. It might not be in the way that you thought that it was going to exist. Maybe it's not a fitness studio. Maybe it's an online fitness offering. Maybe it's not a book. Maybe it's a digital course. Maybe it's none of those things, but in 10 years' time, it becomes a movie. Like, who knows? But I do believe that ideas have lives of their own, that they're their own little nucleus with like a little tiny beating heartbeat. And even if you shelve them for a little while, if it's what you're meant to be doing, then they'll find a way to come out in you, or somebody else will do it. So finding what you love and like going after that. But, you know, for me, there are some giants of my game, you know, the Mel Robbinses, the Marie Forleos, the Jay Shetties. Those are the guys that are absolutely killing it in what it is that I'm trying to do. And I have to remind myself that whilst they may not be, they may be, Mel Robbins, for example, is 15 years older than me. Not that it has anything to do with age, but she has 15 more years experience than me. She only found personal development in her 30s like I did. So I'm a baby in that world. So like, be patient, be humble, learn all of the things and just try and take those learnings forward.
I wish I could just brush shoulders with you every day.
That's my challenge.
Infectious, and you know, positive mental attitude is one of the biggest shifts. And I talk a lot. I talk a lot about it to my 8-year-old specifically, because you know, he wakes up very joyful and very happy about life. And it's one of those things that I want to nurture that, and I want to try and carry that forward. So when things do become difficult or tough, it is switching the mindset instead of going straight to the negative and staying down in that, you know, little burrow that you're building. It's almost lifting yourself back up and going, do you know what, actually that wasn't working, so I'm going to move and I'm going to shift on. And I talk a lot about ripping the band-aid off. You know, if any of my clients or friends, you know, are in a difficult situation and they're like, oh, it's just not the right time, you know, I might do it, and there's never the right time. Rip it off when it doesn't feel good, when it's not right, move on, you know, make those clean changes. Because again, you know, as we constantly keep saying back and forth, that's where the magic happens. You know, that's where the change comes in. But I was sitting, my son skateboards, and I love telling this story because skateboarding is one of those things that you're never going to be the best at because you're always falling. You're always down and trying to get back up, and you're practicing these skills over and over and over again. And he had been practicing this skill forever and, you know, wasn't landing it, landed it once, but then the next 20 times didn't land it. You know, it's always that flux happening back and forth. And we listened to a Tony Hawk podcast, which again, these podcasts, you know, are just so great now that we can tap into so many voices around the world. And he said, you know, there was a trick of his that he had been practicing for 7 years until he was able to execute it. And there we were driving in the car, and my son's face just went, oh, what? And I'm like, yeah, you know, this is life. And this is, you know, the process of new beginnings, having big wins, knowing when to stop, you know, finding your level of support groups and where your inspiration comes from. I think, you know, Casey, you're so great at articulating all of this. You've shared so much in this conversation that I hope our Unas, I definitely know our Unas will be able to take away with them, you know, and package it up in their own way. But let's talk about the future, how people can get in contact with you, Casey. What are you working on? What can our Unas, you know, tap in with you, whether it is content you put out on Instagram, anything coming up in the schedule that they can book into? How can we tap into and brush shoulders with a little bit more of Casey?
Well, the first thing is the book. So it's called The Bad Girl's Guide to Better. And it's 16 life lessons I wish that I had learned sooner. It's very sassy. It's designed to feel like lunch with your best friends crossed with a therapy session. And, you know, I get messages every single day saying, this has changed my life. This has saved my life. I feel like you're my best friend. It is really supposed to be like a Bible that you can read cover to cover, but then absolutely dip back into the chapter that you need at any given time. So this is like me in a book, literally. So that's a really good place to start. Over on social, I've got my at Casey Barros channels. So, and then I've also got a channel specifically for the book, a little bit more sassy, few less kid pics, not that I post many kid pics, but Casey Barros is more about my life. Bad Girls is like just for the lols and the wisdoms. So I have the course version of this, or a course version of this digital course, where we really dive into things and action things together, which will be coming out in January 2022, which I'm very excited about. There are a few kind of little exercises in here that I do encourage people to do as they're going, but I've recognized that there's definitely an opportunity for us to work together in a digital capacity to be able to really work through some of the concepts in here. And I'm really excited about that, you know, with the world being the way that it is, for me to be able to reach as many people as possible and keep getting those messages about it changing lives. And, you know, it's a slow burn with any of these sorts of projects, but I'm just excited to get it to more people and more hands and just, you know, we all want to save the world, right?
Yeah. Casey, thank you so much. My brain is flying 1,000 miles a minute. I would love to get you onto Una to, you know, host a reading. And I'd also love to get you to meet our community of Unas, because they're our heartbeat. And, you know, that is why I wake up and I teach every single day, like you said, with so much joy. I want to be there. I am so excited to step onto my mat, because I know that, you know, what I'm bringing them is equally as important as what they're bringing me. So it's such a collaborative effort. So we will get you on board. But Casey, this was so inspiring. Thank you for sharing your story and your wisdom.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me and for everything that you do, you know, stepping onto that mat and doing things like this. It's really important to give people like us a voice, and you're doing that. So thank you.
Thanks, Casey. Well, until next time, because I feel like we could always do this again, round two with a different topic. I would love that. We will. Unas, thank you so much for tuning in. Stay tuned for our next episodes with some, again, super movers and shakers in the entrepreneur and founders field. And until then, we will see you all soon. Have a great day. Bye.